Michael Thomas, president of English High School Alumni Association, is with us to talk all about beloved English, my new favorite high school, English High. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good tonight. I'm glad it's your new favorite high school. I hope it's your old favorite high school when we get through.
Good. And you're friends with another guest of ours, the great Steve Kirkjian.
Yes. Yes.
Who came on and talked about a history of Woodstock. And not the history of Woodstock, but his experience at Woodstock.
Yeah.
He also has a book about the thievery that took place at the Gardner Museum, a book with a theory.
Amazing book.
All right. Give me the overview of Boston English, and then I'll get to some details.
Boston English High School is the oldest public high school, started out as a public high school in the country. We know Boston Latin School was started centuries earlier, actually, as a different sort of school. But Boston English High School has been really an icon of Boston public school system since 1821, when it was founded by the Boston School Committee. Boston Latin School graduates on the Boston School Committee decided that there needed to be a different high school in Boston besides a high school for Greek and Latin only and people that wanted to go to divinity school. It's evolved as a high school that filled in the gap during the Industrial Revolution during the 1880s with English and math and sciences so that the common man could get an education. What wasn't necessarily going to become a divinity student or a doctor or a lawyer, going to the Ivy League school, so to speak.
So for business, mechanics, engineering, trades, things like that.
Yes, exactly.
And you went there.
I went there.
And that's kind of what you did. You went into business.
I did. I went into business. Lots of different kinds of businesses. But yes, I mean, I think it prepared me for college and life after college, but it was a place where I think a lot of the kids in the city from different parts of the city, Mattapan, Dorchester, you know, East Boston, the North End, there was really a melting pot of kids from all over the city of Boston that went there on Avenue Louis Pasteur back in the 60s.
Where is it now?
The high school now is in Jamaica Plain at 144 McBride Street. It's the seventh high school location in the history of the high school. Boston Latin School has probably four different locations, but we have had seven overall. Two of those locations in Boston, downtown Boston, and the South End were in conjunction with in the same building as Boston Latin School.
Oh, yes, I saw a picture of the two together.
Yeah, they were for
in
the 1840s, I believe, and Latin School, I believe, went over to Avenue Louis Pasteur, I think in 1924, around there sometime.
So some of the locations for the Boston English School, and I don't know the order, was South End, Warren Street, near where Warren Street is, right?
Warren Street and Montgomery Street was, I believe, the second or third location. The first location was in Durand Street, right in back of the State House, opposite the Suffolk University classroom entrance door. I actually had my picture taken in front of a plaque. There's a plaque there that says, this is where the first English high school existed. I have a thing that Joe Gallo did on our monuments and bronze things in Boston, and I found it that way. The second one was in Pinckney Street.
Yeah.
In 1824, I think they moved there.
It's right in the corner of Charles, isn't it?
I believe it is. Yeah, and I believe the building is still there that it was in. I haven't seen the building, but I believe it still exists. And then went from there to the two joint buildings in the South End, actually in downtown Boston, and then the South End with Boston Latin School. And then they went up to Avenue Louis Pasteur, and we actually followed them up there back in, I believe it was 1954. So I went to the old Commerce High School on Avenue Louis Pasteur, which had been converted to Boston English High School back in the mid-50s.
What do kids get there that you can't get at any other high school? Is there a certain tradition of excellence? You know, you went there. There's something special about it.
I mean,
what makes it special?
I think for a lot of kids that had come from Latin school and didn't really like the de rigueur of Latin school and the studiousness of Boston Latin School and other middle schools around the city like myself, it represented a place where you could get a basic education. You had good teachers in most of the subjects, math, English, and sciences. You had kids from all over the city that you had to deal with and were exposed to. And I had a family incident recently where the nephew of my girlfriend said, well, gee, I feel uncomfortable with African Americans and Asian people because I never went to school with them. And I said, you know, this kind of makes me happy. I think about this often, about my experience at Boston English High School. Before busing, we had blacks, Latinos, you know, Asians on the football team. We had all sorts of kids that they were just like what the school was like, what the city was like.
It's interesting, on a personal note, there were no black folks or Asian folks in my school, but I'm perfectly comfortable. I don't know what her thing was.
I don't either, but if that's a reason for you to feel uncomfortable, I would say go make some friends of a different skin color, you know, and see that we're all kind of the same.
How did you get in? Is it difficult to get in?
English High School, at the time, was a pretty rigorous course if you wanted to go to English High School. There was not an entrance exam like there was for Boston Latin School and Boston Tech High School. There was a placement examination where you had to go, I believe, in August before you matriculated and took a placement exam, which kind of told the school where you were going to land your freshman and sophomore year at English High School. So there was no exam. The rigor was within the school, I think within the good teachers in the school, the competitiveness for kids to basically get a good education, get out and get a job, or go on to college.
So for 151 years, it was boys only. And then in 72, they allowed girls in. That seems weird now, doesn't it? 151 years. What made them change in 1972? Any idea?
Well, no, I don't. I don't accept that everybody else was doing it, so we might as well do it. The colleges were doing it. The prep schools were doing it. I think it was maybe just the natural evolution of, you know, the gender itself in education and getting ahead back in the 60s. Things were backward maybe for females for a long time.
So you, when you went, was it boys only?
It was boys only.
Were you, later in life, were you uncomfortable with women because you didn't go to school with them?
I was not uncomfortable with women as a result of that. But you know what, Brad? I also went to high school, prep school, and college where it was essentially girls only for the follow-up 5 years, and I still didn't miss them.
All right. You're in here because there's a big anniversary coming up.
Yes.
Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, it's we're all excited about that. We've been in the process of planning it as an alumni association board for a good year plus now. We've hired an event marketing firm recently, Liz Page Associates out of Quincy, to help shepherd us through the process of assessing what the event would be like, how many people. Sponsorship and involvement, tickets, and all that good stuff. It will occur on October 2nd.
It's going to be a single event, not a series.
We think it's going to be a single event. That's not a done deal yet. We're thinking it might be a school-centric event, an alumni-centric event, maybe two different events, maybe one big day. It will be on October 2nd, 2021. We do have a venue reserved, but we're afraid that the JFK Library may be too small for the event that we're looking at. We're wondering whether it's going to be 500 people or 1,000 people. In 1996 or so, they did a 175th reunion. They had 700 people at the Statler Hilton. So optimistically, I think you're talking about 1,000 people, give or take, students, politicians, alumni from all over the place, illustrious alumni. I don't quite have a commitment from Herb Chambers yet, but we had a meeting with him about a month and a half ago, and he said he would keep an open mind about that. So the momentum is there. We're moving in the right direction. People are hearing about it. It is a big event. However, there is life between now and 2021. It's the here and the now. And
right. I would think, Herb Chambers, you should definitely get involved. I would think you would, sir.
I would hope I would hope that he would. He has sort of recently reached out to us and told us a few things that were encouraging. And like I said, I did have a meeting with him, with my executive secretary, my executive director, actually, and it went fairly well. And there are people like Herb out there that are very supportive of their alma mater, and we hope they step up and they'll help us out. I'm confident they will. But it's really the soldiers. It's the average guy on the street that needs to know, what is English High School all about? How can they help? How can they get involved? We have done stood on our hands to try to get this alumni office up and running with a new website, a new database. They can go to EnglishHighAlumni.org is the website to sign up, to get information, to look at photographs, to post notes about their trip to Europe or whatever it is, you know, they want to talk about. So,
speaking of alumni and famous folks, I guess this would be a good time to go through some of them.
Mm.
Well, Herb Chambers, one, he's a businessman. That's consistent with the mission statement there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's probably the most famous of all time is a gentleman by the name of J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
He did
pretty well in his lifetime, yeah.
Yeah, he did very well. He was actually a very sickly child, so the story goes. And he was out of school for a whole year, and he had to make up that school year. His senior year, he made up credits and became, you know, graduated in 1854. Louis Sullivan was the architect, the inventor of the skyscraper architect.
You had a Confederate general.
Confederate general.
William Whiting?
Yes, William Whiting. We had Mr. Langley invented the jet engine. Samuel Pierpont Langley. You had
an actor.
Yes.
Leonard Nimoy. Rob Brooks. Leonard Nimoy went to English
yes.
High.
Yes, Dr. Spock went to English High School. I have some information on that, but that's a whole separate subject. His family is looking to do a non-smoking for children promotion with Tobacco-Free America.
Wow.
with the Nimoy Foundation. So that's exciting for us. They want us to be involved in that because he grew up in Boston, went to English High School, and hopefully all that will come to fruition. People like Leonard Nimoy, Billy Overton was an actor that married Jane Kennedy. He still lives in California and comes to the East Coast every now and then. The names sort of go on and on and on.
Louis Walcott Farrakhan,
from what I'm told by people that went to school with him, and I have interfaced with several of them, was one hell of a track guy. And he was so good and so fast, he won relays with the track team. The other thing that I found out about him from several different people is he was such a fine musician. He could have been a concert violinist. So this is a gentleman that was very good and probably was very intense at whatever he did. At English High, it was track and some kind of a music program.
So you had it says Cahil Gibran, artist, but I thought he was a writer.
Yeah. Yeah. We had some conversations with family members of his generation removed that wanted to do some kind of a memorial about 5 or 6 years ago. We tried to put that together, and I'm not sure what ended up happening with it. But there's
a bunch of sports folks, and you're a sports person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are. There's a guy by the name of Kenneth Clark that graduated, I believe, in the 1976 that ended up playing defensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles for, I think, 10, 15 years. There are Billy Overton, the gentleman I mentioned earlier, was quite a football player in his day. There was a gentleman by the name of, he was a fullback for English High School that Preston Johnson ended up playing for the Boston Patriots. He was a fullback for a number of years. There was some pretty good football. Bobby Gindin was an excellent baseball player. I never saw him play, but he signed with the Red Sox and played minor league baseball for a number of years. And I think back in the day when you had 2,000 young men running around, I think you were bound to have very, very good sports teams. The school changed, had girls, changed location, downsized, so to speak. So now you have about 600 kids at the high school, male and female, and they still have pretty good sports teams.
So if somebody listening right now wanted their child to go there, what would the procedure be?
It's become a district high school versus a central magnet high school. So there are certain communities, I believe Roslindale, High Park, Mattapan, Dorchester, Roxbury, that the English High School draws from now. We've been, in recent years, in the last year or two, we've been doing a much better job of marketing the high school to the junior high schools, to the middle schools. So it's now a much more attractive school than it was, let's say, 8 years ago, before they had a new headmaster and a culture change and an emphasis on the arts and the sciences and on helping the kids get through the school through outside partners and resources. So to answer your question directly, call the high school, find out if there's a registration process or not, go visit the high school. They have two sessions a year in the spring and in the fall when you can visit the high school and meet the teachers and find out what the programs are before you ever enroll.
Sounds cool. Let's see. Is it time for a break yet? No. Speaking of, we were talking about sports. They have football's, well, a very old rivalry with Latin, correct? Going way, way back.
Yes, they do. And I brought a copy of the program from last Thanksgiving. I was curious as to the number, 133.
Wow.
Gridiron. Now, this, having gone to Harvard, I know that Harvard-Yale was about 2 years older than English High School and Boston Latin School. So that is quite amazing when you really think about it. It's the oldest continuous high school rivalry in the country. I believe Wellesley and Needham are older, but they stopped during the war, that kind of thing. But this contest has gone on and on and on, and it's now at Harvard Stadium, back where I think it belongs, you know, back in the day when I played there the 3 years in the early 60s.
They play it at Harvard Stadium?
They play the game at Harvard Stadium at Thanksgiving morning, no matter how cold it is,
Brett. Yeah, that'd be something to see. I think I'd like to go see that sometime. And how does English do? How do they stack up over those 133 games? How many did they win?
Well, I think through the 60s, when the schools were both roughly the same size, even though they were across the street from each other, they were both large gatherings of young men in both facilities. The score was fairly even. In the mid-60s, I think the last year we won it was 66, before there was a drought on the English High side for a lot of years. Now it is very lopsided. I think since 1966, English High has only won the game four times out of whatever that number of events is, which is very, very lopsided. Latin School plays in a higher division because it's a bigger school. English High is in a smaller division. Nobody wants to give it up.
All right. We're going to continue with our guest, Michael Thomas, talking about English High School and more about sports. It's something that happened very key on the Boston Common. There's a monument there you may not be aware of, and we will talk about that after this on BZ. If you want to give us a shout, we're talking about Boston English High School. There's got to be somebody that's listening to me that went there. Love to hear about your experience, or maybe have a question. Maybe you know somebody you'd like to get a kid into the school. We're talking with Michael Thomas, who's the boss of the Alumni Association at Boston English. And just before the break, you were talking about how you're doing a better job marketing it than they used to. How do you market a high school? Do you go to other schools, middle schools, and put up posters? How does that work?
I think you do spread the word at the other high schools. I think some of the Boston public school systems have a way of allowing you to communicate with the middle schools. By and large, you can also solicit. For example, West Roxbury High School had two separate complexes, then they closed the high school. I'm sure we made visits over to West Roxbury High School to talk to the seniors over there, or the juniors over there that wanted to come to English High School, as seniors. But I think it's a difficult job in general, and I think what happens and it's happening right now at the high school, is that they develop a reputation over time. And it has always been a school back in the late 1800s and 1900s. It's always been a school of immigrants, immigrants' children, first generation, second generation. I'm a second generation immigrant of a Lebanese, Middle Eastern family. My father went to Commerce High School. He literally went to school in the same building I ended up going to. And he was first generation and was a printer his entire life. I came along. He said, "You're going to English High School also," as did a couple of my older brothers. But today, we have immigrant children coming, people that are coming into this country from Caribbean countries. And this is the first place they land. Their parents want them to go to a safe place where they know they're going to learn English as well as become more literate in their native language.
Just out of curiosity, did you happen to have any teachers that your father also had? Because I did.
No.
my eighth grade teacher, my father also had that same teacher.
That's kind of unbelievable. I've heard stories, Brad, many stories about teachers that were there for the son of the father that had the same teacher. And there have been some long-term excellent teachers at Boston English High School. You know, it's just a place where people teachers stayed because the student groups were excellent. They loved their jobs. You have an incredible dedicated staff these days that educate a student population that's sort of typical of Boston Public Schools.
Can you talk about the courses that you can actually take there? I know that there's a woodworking course. I looked at the website.
There is. There's some very interesting things going on right now at the school, and they're being emulated district-wide. They have one of the more robust music and arts program. A part of the arts program is an actual woodworking class that they take. They have about 100 kids enrolled in drumline, dance, musical, orchestra, which is the biggest number of kids in any of the Boston public schools besides Boston Arts Academy, which is a high school exclusively for the arts. But in addition to that, they have a program called the Pathways Program. And what that allows them to do is they brought this in about 5 or 6 years ago. It's being emulated district-wide. The kids come in as freshmen, and they select one of five different areas of study that they actually have to go to a class once a day in. This area of study can be health and wellness, it can be business and finance and entrepreneurship, it can be legal and emergency services, it can be web design, and it can be graphic design. So the idea is that if a child goes through these programs and they decide in their junior year that college is not for them, they're going to continue and they will have a skill set that they can then either get a certification for, they can get a job in the business world if they have, you know, Microsoft certified and that type of thing. And if they do decide to go to college, this allows them to have a job, part-time job, while, you know, and earn some decent money while they might be going to school part-time night. So the Pathways program has really taken off in BPS in general and at English High School. It's now probably in its seventh or eighth year, and it's evolved.
So did you just kind of address the health assisting students? Is that what you talked about, or is that a separate thing?
No, that's part of the Pathways path or program, and it's really having visited the school twice, three times when they were in the middle of instruction, the kids actually learned CPR. They actually learned how to do EKGs. They were just bringing that equipment in. They actually have a Monday morning at 7 o'clock Harvard Medical School laboratory that they go to every week during the course of their studies. They can become a certified nursing assistant through this program. They can also get several credits in high school that will apply to college when they go off to college. It's a pretty interesting, robust program that seems to be very appealing to a lot of the kids these days.
College is really expensive these days. And I, like many parents, I'm sure, think there's got to be another way. Does English always believe that kids should go to college, or does English high school kind of prepare kids for maybe not needing to go to college? Like, teaching them business, so you could just be in business yourself.
Yeah, I think you just said it, and I think that part of these pathway programs are for those kids that at some point during their high school career decide that they don't want to go, they can't afford the college, they don't want to go to college, they want to try something else. The legal and protective services allows a student to be able to learn and get on a 911 board and do calls that, you know, the police would actually be doing, and actually work in sort of a live setting to see if, hey, maybe I'd like to be in law enforcement, maybe I want to be in emergency services, and, you know, and that type of thing, as well as exposes them to civil and constitutional law in case they decide they want, you know, law school's the way they want to go.
So you went to Boston English, then you went to a prep school before going to the Big H. Is that standard? Taking that extra year there to do the prep school?
No, it's not standard. And for me, it was sort of a lucky pivot that was influenced by my parents and my mentors and my coaches and teachers at English High School. For me, personally, I was very young, graduating from high school, and I was an athlete. There were people in my lives, coaches and teachers, that were saying to me, hey, look at me, you'd be well served to go take another year somewhere else, prepare even better for college, and then this way you may get into a better school. I think that is atypical. I think economically it doesn't make a lot of sense for kids today. The other thing is that high schools should be preparing kids to be able to move from high school right on into college.
So where'd you go, Exeter?
I went to Andover.
Andover.
It's rival.
Sorry.
Yes, that's okay.
So sorry.
That's okay. We beat them in football that year.
Talking about programs, I don't know if you get into the meat of the programs to know about the PI period and the PI mentor, P-I-E. Is that something you can talk about?
Okay. I actually do. It's something that you've done your homework well, Brad. New headmaster, Caitlin Murphy, this is she's about a year and a half into her tenure as headmaster, decided that she would take a little bit of time from each of the class periods each day and lop off 5 or 10 minutes of each class, so a child would have 40 minutes every day of their PI period. I think it's Partners in Education is what it stands for. That doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me, but the reality of it is that kids seem to like it. They can go and choose to work out during that period. They can study. They can go up into the cafeteria.
They can work on their area, their problem areas. That's the way I understood
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And some of the kids, you know, are not doing that. They're probably going to the sports zone and they're working out there, which is okay. They're allowed to do that. They can also go to the tutoring center, which has become a very, very popular place.
Seems like a real healthy environment to me.
It is. And culturally, it has changed in the last 7 or 8 years. It is a very different place. It's a very safe place for kids to go to school right now. And from what I see in the school, it's a very different demeanor and a very nice environment for a lot of kids.
So we just talked about the PI period during the day, which has been carved out so people can work on their troubled areas. They also have a PI mentor. They get assigned a mentor.
Yes, they do. I believe it's an instructor that takes care of them, that actually will track what they're doing during their PI periods. A lot of the students go to the what's now called the Alumni and Friends Tutoring Center. It started out as a writing center to help kids write college essays, and has literally morphed into English and language and sciences and math, where kids come to this fifth floor office and they can work on their college essays, they can work on any of the subjects that they feel they're weak in, and the tutors will actually go into the classroom, the math classroom, the language classroom, with these tutors and sit there side by side with the tutor and the student while the teacher's teaching the lesson.
If I were out there listening to this and I had a kid, I lived in the right district, I would certainly be trying to get him into Boston English. Dan in Quincy wants to join us. Mike, let's talk to Dan. How you doing, Dan? What's up? Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty well, Dan.
How you doing tonight,
Dan? How can
we
help you?
Yeah, so I just wanted to know, where should your children, where's the area of focus that you should really, really pin down as to where they should be focusing on in high school? Like what area?
That's a pretty general question, not necessarily about Boston English High School. I don't know. Is that something that we want to go to? Like you're not a guidance counselor.
I think if a child wants to get ahead academically, I think they want to do something that I didn't do a lot of when I was in high school, and that is read.
You didn't read?
I didn't read a lot. I was out playing ball too much.
You did play a lot of ball.
I did play a lot of ball. But, I mean, reading, I also grew up in a family of eight boys, so I didn't have much of a choice as to.
No girls?
No girls.
Eight boys.
So I was used to the boy thing, as you can sort of see. But I would say the best thing a child can do, you can do for a child, is to read to that child or have that child read.
Yeah. My father used to say, read, I don't care what you read, because you can learn something from anything, Mad Magazine or whatever it is. 617-254-1030 if you'd like to give us a shout. Little about you. You mentioned that you'd had some, you played a lot of sports. You went to Andover, and you went to Andover as a result of a mentor. And it was his name Bill?
Bill Stewart.
Talk about Bill Stewart and what a guy like Bill Stewart meant to you.
Well, Bill Stewart was a bit of a substitute father figure for me. I had a very happy family life and a mother and father. My father worked hard. I had a lot of brothers, five older brothers that were, you know, around all the time, teaching me, showing me, cajoling me, punching me. But Bill Stewart did a lot of things for a lot of students at English High School. I was lucky enough to play two different sports with him. So it was three different years and two different seasons. So six seasons in all. And he was a mentor. He knew the system. He knew the process. He was tough on some kids, but he was also very fair. And if you did your work and you kept your nose clean and it looked like you studied a little bit and you wanted to go to college, he would be more than happy to help you out.
Okay, we have Tom and Quincy. He says his dad went to Boston English. All right, let's see how his dad turned out. How you doing, Tom?
Not bad. How about you?
Pretty well. Say hi to Mike and tell us about your dad's experience as much as you
can. Good evening, Tom.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, my old man was class of 38, and he was a proud English grad. I'll say that. He he's gone now, but, you know, I remember late in his life, he went to and enjoyed, a reunion there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wanted that my personal experience with, the high school. I mean, I went to, parochial schools, but, you know, the school itself in JP, it's still in JP, right?
It's still in JP, correct.
Yeah, there's a roll call or a list. It's a bronze monument, I guess is the best way to describe it, in the hall there that lists all the people who died in World War One and World War Two, students and faculty. And that list is a very long one.
Yes, I believe it's one of the major plaques they have on the wall in the main hallway of the high school. And it's been there. It's been relocated there. It's been there for quite a while. You know, back in the day, a lot of the, even pre-Civil War, a lot of the soldiers and a lot of the cadets came through the public schools before they ended up going and fighting in the war. Now we're going way, way back. But your dad probably didn't see me in any of the reunions, but we find and hear the same thing from a lot of alums, especially the older guys from the 40s and 50s, that English High School was a very, very happy time in their life. They learned a lot, and they probably learned enough to get along in business and earn a living and provide for your family.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Appreciate that. Running low on time. You brought a book by Joseph R. Gallo Jr. It is a book called Boston, Bronze and Stone Speak to Us. And that it sort of ties together sports and history and Boston English. There's a monument on the Common, which is pretty darn interesting. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's something we only stumbled about when I found this book several years ago and doing some alumni work. And I discovered this called the Oneida Club. And what it is about a 5-foot-high concrete, rather nondescript-looking monument on one of the walkways in the Boston Common. If you walk all the walkways, you'll eventually find it. And it talks about the fundamental or the genesis of the American football, which I believe happened in the 1860s, 1862. And it was actually the melding of Boston English and Boston Latin School boys who decided that they would play on this wonderful field and keep any opposing teams from crossing the goal line. And there were all sorts of games lasted 2.5 hours and with no breaks in between. It was the genesis of American football the way we know it now. It sort of died off and then made its way back with English high school starting their rivalry with Boston Latin School. And I believe it was 1886.
Early on, no goalposts. Right?
No what?
No goalposts?
No goalposts.
You just got
to
get...
You had to get whatever it was you were playing with, some kind of a leather ball across the goal line.
Carry it, or could you kick it across?
I think you could kick it, you could throw it, or you could carry it across.
Wow.
And supposedly the Oneida Club, they were so good as that nobody ever, they had a fancy way of saying it, nobody ever crossed their goal line.
So a little bit about you. You grew up in Alston?
I grew up in Alston.
Where exactly?
On Alston Street, right near Ringer Playground, right actually across the street from a playground. So it was a good place for me to hang out. And
any other landmarks there, stores or anything that I could picture it exactly?
What, the?
Where you grew up?
It's.
I'm a big geographic location guy.
Well, it's the street is runs between Commonwealth Avenue and Brighton Avenue.
Okay.
And it runs actually up to Washington Street from Brighton Avenue, crosses
okay.
Commonwealth Avenue and goes all the way up to where Whole Foods is now on Washington Street. And then I moved to West Roxbury my junior year in high school.
And you had. And eight brothers. That's a lot of brothers. I had two brothers, so no women, so I get the no women part. But eight. There must have been certain specific things in your lifestyle that you could only experience with eight brothers.
Yes, and I think it was make sure you're at dinner on time at 4:30 when the old man got home and wanted to eat dinner, because if he didn't get home at a certain time and you were late, you might have not have gotten quite as much food that night.
Because they're ravenous boys. They're just eating. You had enough kids, so you didn't really need any other kids to play sports. You could play like 4-on-4 basketball or football or whatever. I had to do, I only had two brothers. It was tough.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we got the old man involved, we had a baseball team. We put the old man in right field.
And a little bit more detail about your career, all the stuff you've done.
Well, I mean... You mean post high school and
yeah,
and
well
all that
after
stuff.
College you went into business, you've done a bunch of stuff.
I won. I actually got involved in right out of college working for Mayor White in the mayor's office for a few years, and then I got into sales and then moved to New York to go to business school down at Columbia. From there, I started a marketing career with a couple of major companies. Later on. 10, 15 years after that, I built a house in New York and started my own marketing consulting firm. So I did that for a number of years until I moved back to the Boston area in 2002, just in time for all my sports teams to win championships.
Yay.
I had nothing
did they
to do
win
with...
fairly and squarely?
Not sure. Not sure.
So when you went away from Boston, what was... lacking. When you move away from Boston, what does one miss, if anything?
I missed all the sports teams, and I missed being updated and being able to watch, NESN or Channel 56 back in the day. For me, that was a big tug in the other direction, as well as my family. I mean, I was the first to really, second in my family to move out of state. So when you go to the Big Apple, when you go to the big bad city, the question came up every time I come home. Are you a Yankee fan yet?
Oh, right.
Are you a, New York Giants fan yet? That kind of thing. All my friends were Yankee fans. I get into see Yankee Stadium and go to more games there than I ever went to at Fenway Park. So,
great to have you in. We know abstractly, we say Boston's a great place, but I really like finding out why. And Boston English is one of the reasons why. The more you know about the the nooks and crannies of Boston, the richer it is. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, it's WBZ.